Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, this is our guy, James Hamm. We're happy to bring James Hamm in here. Joining us on short notice, as I'm sure James headed into the Golden One Center for the juggernaut of the Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. But the big story, Hamm, is your story with Monty McNair. How did that conversation come about?
You know, it's one of those things. We have contractual obligations that sometimes make a lot of sense and sometimes don't. But King Central is a staple of our programming, and we asked for Monty, and the Kings were willing to give us Monty. And
nice.
I thought that was, it was nice to see. You know, there's a week left in the season, so it's not like he's going to go on and say whether Luke Walton's job is safe or not, and some, or who they're going to trade for or anything in the offseason. But, you know, I think a lot of people don't know Monty very well, and it's a good moment to kind of figure out who he is, listen to his words. Let him tell you about his family, let him, you know, his ideas for the roster, the night that Halliburton was drafted. There's some good stuff in there.
James, I'm not sitting here saying that he needs to pull a Jerry Jones and have his own press conference in the hallway after games or anything. But do you think that, you know, we've seen Monty McNair not enough or the right amount this year, seen and heard from him this year?
You know, I would have liked to have seen him a little bit more, but I also understand we're in a very strange situation. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in COVID protocols. There's just not a lot you can do. Plus, you know what, I think that there's something that's missed. We have relationships with these people, right? So, like, Luke Walton and I have a relationship. We've had plenty of conversations both on the record, off the record. We've stood in a scrum together 150 times. Vlade Divac and I had a long-standing relationship. You know, whether it's good or bad, there's either trust or there's not trust. Well, Monty hasn't had that opportunity. He doesn't, you know, like, I bumped into him one time while he was going to get coffee with some of his staff. That's the only time we've actually met in person. And there's something about meeting in person and feeling comfortable with the people that you're around and that you're talking to. So I think a little bit is that. But overall, you know, there have been some moments this season where maybe someone else did need to have a voice. But the Kings have chosen not to go that way. And, you know, I don't know if it's Monty. I don't know if it's the organization. But I would have liked to have seen just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. James, what really got us locked into your article, because I saw your tweet go up while the show was happening, and like a true radio professional, I just started reading it. And the thing that really caught my attention was the gap year line, because that had been kind of something that had just stuck in my teeth since it was first mentioned, you know, however many months ago. Like, and you wrote about it, and I'm sure it'll be in the interview tonight following the game. What was your takeaway when you talked to him about this this gap year that allegedly the Kings are having?
Well, I'll be totally honest with you. The gap year concept, it's somebody within the organization's idea. Mm-hmm. I would never, ever question the reporting of my good friend Sam Amick. He's one of the best in the business. So don't take that as a slight where it's a backhanded that didn't really happen, that wasn't said. But you can have someone within the organization that isn't within the front office say something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think this season has been very strange because many times during this year, you didn't know if the Kings were buyers or sellers. And I think they came into the season with one plan, and I think that it just kept shifting throughout the year. You know, when they win 8 out of 9 games and all of a sudden they're right in it, or when they lose 9 straight, and all of these things happen multiple times during the year, which just made it like the most uncomfortable season I've ever had to cover. Just the yo-yo that was the season. And even right now, they're streaking to the finish where they won 6 out of 7 when, you know, they're going to end up likely short of their goal and they'll damage their lottery chances. So I just, you know, it's a very strange season all around, whether it's money talking, money not talking, someone saying something about a gap year or not. But I think, you know, again, having Monty express himself does help, where you can hear his ideas on what should happen or, you know, how quickly they would like to move.
And, James, you don't have to go, obviously, word for word and give away the content that we'll all be locked into a little later on. But after talking to Monty, do you get a sense of this franchise is kind of where he thought they might be at this point, you know, after the year with everything that was going on and the cramming in the season and everything moving so fast paced, or are they a little behind, a little ahead of schedule? What's the vibe that you got as we wind this season from Monty McNair and where he wants this franchise to be right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the easiest thing for everyone is just say, hey, look, you know, we're not willing to wait around 4 years to make it to the playoffs. And I don't think Monty is thinking that way. But for 14 seasons, somebody has failed to make the playoffs, and this could very well possibly be the 15th season, right? Mm-hmm. So his goal is to eventually get the team back to the playoffs, which is what almost everyone who steps into this job's, you know, ultimate goal is. I don't think there's anyone who set out to completely fail at their job and make mistakes and have this team come up short. But like the prevailing thoughts from me is, number one, he wants this team primed and ready to make a gigantic move if one comes available. That's something that I've got from him in private conversations. It's something that I've gotten even from this interview. It's that it's not that they're waiting for a superstar to become available. They know that they have so many assets and someone can't turn them down. But they would really like that scenario to play out. And so that's one thing. Like, they are looking to improve this roster, and they are going to swing for the fence. And things like draft picks or young players or you know, cap space, all that stuff, it's all in play at all times. So I think they will be aggressive. But I also think, like, look, you have to understand that he was hired on September 17th, I think it is, for a season that started in December. There was no training camp, really, well, like a minimal training camp, no summer league, no build-up, no natural anything. It was like, here's the keys, now go drive the car. And I think he took this season as, hey, look, I'm going to fill out the roster, but it's not going to be an A-plus roster. It's going to be a roster that's flexible, that if a big move does come up, I can make. And if it doesn't, and I do need to make adjustments to make to help the head coach down the stretch of the season, I can do that at the deadline without hamstringing the franchise, you know, dramatically. And I think that's what he's done.
James Hamm, Kings Insider, with us here on D'Lo and Casey. What did you think of the appearance from the Vlade the other night?
Oh, jeez.
You know, like, look, I hate saying this because fans don't like when I do. I know Vlade made some mistakes, but I can also tell you that in his last 5 years here in Sacramento, Jeff Petrie made so many mistakes. I don't even know. Like, I mean, he drafted Jimmer Fredette when, you know, he passed on Kemba Walker, he passed on Klay Thompson, he passed on Kawhi Leonard. That's his pick. You know, Tyreke Evans over a guy like, I don't know, Steph Curry. That happened. And then you get to the Pete Alejandro years, and that's just, you know, a complete hot mess. But when I look at Vlade's tenure here, I hate to tell people this, but the team is better now than they were the previous 10 years. And Vlade did make a lot of moves. The reason you have De'Aaron Fox on the roster is because of Vlade Divac. The reason you have Harrison Barnes or Rashawn Holmes or Buddy Hield. Those are decisions that Vlade made. So while, and even Marvin Bagley. So while Vlade missed on Luka Doncic and will forever have that be on his NBA executive gravestone, you know, he did actually do some good things. And I want Vlade to be welcomed back in the arena for the incredible ambassador he is to the game, for the incredible ambassador he has been to the Sacramento Kings, for the amazing person that he is off the court, which he's one of the best human beings. So for me, I love the fact that the game ended and Harrison Barnes and Buddy Hield and every single person that worked at that organization, even Marvin Bagley, came over and hugged Vlade. And, you know, there's a lot of love there because that is a genuinely spectacular human being who did not deliver on what he hoped would be, you know, an NBA playoff or better for the Kings. But, you know, his heart was always pure. And I think that's something that I cannot say about everyone who's ever, you know, stepped into that role, whether it be in Sacramento or elsewhere. And so I'm glad he made it to the arena, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. I don't like anything that you just said, but no, that makes sense. And that's not true. Let me clarify. I've heard the same thing about Vlade time and time again, that he's a fantastic person, and we often joke on the show. Vlade the player is welcome here anytime. Any and every time his jersey hangs in the Raptors, he's a Hall of Fame player. He open door policy. His swipe card still works here. The player swipe card still works here, but we'll leave the front office decisions to some other people. That's the only thing that I say about Vlade.
I get you, but you know what? My man Jerry Reynolds, which is a very close friend of mine, he had some bad years.
That's not true. Now, look, listen to this. That's just a slander. I don't believe any of this is true. Every bad decision from the Kings have been made by Vlade. All of them. That's it.
Right.
All of them. That's the rational way to look at this.
James, one of the decisions that you kind of talked about a little bit, we talked about here last time you were on D'Lo and KC, and you were pretty convinced about Marvin Bagley not being here and not really sure why he was playing. And I understand all of it. I think it was an agreement. I get it. Has the last 2 weeks changed your opinion, your thoughts about what might happen with Marvin Bagley moving forward with the Sacramento Kings? Because it has for me.
You know what? I think people think that I don't like Marvin Bagley. That's just not the case. I actually really, really like Marvin Bagley III, and I'll leave that where that's at. I think he's a very, very good kid. I think he wants to be great. I think he puts in the work. But, you know, fool me once, you know, you're bad, fool me twice, my bad. Mm-hmm. Look, at some point, what's best for the franchise, what's best for the player, sometimes they run along the same exact path. And while Marvin has had some spectacular games since coming back, and I'm surprised that they ran him out there, that doesn't change my thinking. At the end of the day, you know, it's about dollars and cents. It's about how many games can you play. And if you do bring him back, you still have the problem that you have to go out and land a starting level player for the same position he plays at, just because you don't know. It's the unfortunate thing about Marvin Bagley that, you know, 13 games last season, but he missed another, 23 or 24 this year with the broken hand. There's layers to that onion, and I don't regret saying what I said, and I really wouldn't take it back.
I got you.
Speaking of onions, onion caused tears. Speaking of tears, Luke Walton's coming back, isn't he?
Come on.
What? What? I know you didn't discuss this with Monty. I'm just asking James Hamm's opinion. It feels like the momentum, especially, you know, we had a conversation with Ramona Shelburne a while back. She talked about De'Aaron Fox and Luke Walton's relationship. De'Aaron talked with Howard Beck about it. You know, you've reported about it. It seems like, is there momentum for a Luke return? I mean, I don't know.
You know, to be honest with you, we're looking at, 5 or 6 days from now. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer. I've touched base with everybody you can possibly touch base with. I don't feel like there's something imminent, you know, about to happen. But you know, not like when Jaeger was coming to the end and I knew very well that that was happening. Yeah. So this is a situation where, it's complicated, man. And I know fans are like, I don't know why there is all the Luke hate. I mean, I get some of it. He's a former Laker. He had his stuff, like, just as he got hired, that had, you know, went away very quickly. But do people not get that Luke Walton has the second highest win percentage in Sacramento Kings history for head coach?
That is, like, crazy.
That's crazy, and it's not great. And this is the other thing I'll say. Last season, we watched the Utah Jazz add Mike Connolly Jr. and add Jordan Clarkson to the mix, right? And when those moves happened, I think everyone in the NBA said, oh, my gosh, they're a contender. They're going to be so amazing. And then both of those moves fizzled out so badly. And so the reason I bring them up is because Utah didn't panic. They didn't go crazy, and they didn't, like, blow the whole thing up and start over. They kept the group together. They came back the next year, and now they are, what, the best team, well, top two in record in the NBA. And the reason, I bring this up is because the Kings brought in a new defensive coordinator. They brought in a new offensive coordinator. Both of those guys are very good, seasoned coaches in the NBA that everyone respects. And then you roll out, and the Kings have the worst defense in the NBA. Or for most of the season now, I think someone's overtaken them. I think Minnesota's overtaken them as the worst defense. So, again, at some point, I kind of go, you know what? Changing coaches every 2 years is what bad franchises do. It is. It's just like, I think this is my seventh coach in 11 years that I've covered.
Jeez.
So that doesn't work. So sometimes letting the coaching staff have a summer where they're working with these guys and they're getting this whole switching defense worked out, and they're getting some of, you know, like, Alvin Gentry is a wonderful assistant coach. He's a good head coach. You know, Rex Lanyon, he's a good assistant coach. He's done this for years. So what if in a regular offseason they do have a chance to get things right with the coaching staff and they come back out? And my rule is always this: when a coach loses the room, he's got to go. And he's got to go, like, now. Like, there's no question. And Luke still hasn't lost a room. And he has the ear of the most important player on the roster. So I don't know what's going to happen, but at the same time, like, if it's the same group coming back, I understand it. And you owe him $11.5 million over the next 2 years. Oh, that's a lot of cheddar.
See, that's the part that I was going to ask you as you left here. If Luke Walton... Well, there's no way you can... If Luke Walton returns, do you think it will be Monty's decision? Like, Monty is like, this is my guy. This is who's going to lead this team to the playoffs.
I'll answer that question with more of a cryptic. If him and Luke have worked together all season long, and their relationship has developed to a point where they're on the same page, I don't know that Monty has a guy. Mm. Monty, you know, who is Monty's guy? Are we, like, talking, oh, he's going to bring in Kevin McHale? Is he going to bring in Mike D'Antoni, like a 68-year-old Mike D'Antoni?
Oh, let's not do that.
But see, that's the point, though. Like, and if it's not his guy, how do you think a coaching search could go here in Sacramento? And then where does that go? And so those are questions that, like, if I'm a GM and I'm worried that eventually a clock is going to start on me, I hold off on that clock as long as possible.
Yeah.
And that means that, you know, if you run the same guy out there, you do.
That's your get out of jail free card if you're a GM. You can always go back to that. And, James, to your point, and tell me if I'm wrong, I don't think Luke has to necessarily be his guy for him to feel like I can still bring him back. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to be like, I'm going to ride or die with Luke forever. You could be like, I think Luke is good for what's going on right now. I want to see this grow. I think that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a team that hasn't been to the playoffs. So there are going to be, you know, franchises that are really good franchises that have had really good coaches who cut ties with coaches this summer because they couldn't get a team over the hump. We're not to that. We're not to that. I mean, like, you know, Dave Yeager didn't get this team to the playoffs. You know, I can say I'm Paul Westfall, Keith Smart, Michael Malone, Yeager, and now Luke Walton. So I've had 7 head coaches in 11 years. And you know what? Like, none of them, George Karl, who had never, I think, never missed the playoffs. He won 50 so many times, it was crazy. Yeah. He couldn't get the team on the right path. So I think sometimes having cool heads, letting things play out, letting a group grow together, like what De'Aaron Fox said in the Howard Beck interview, I think that does have value. And scout, you know, this team is not talented enough right now to compete for anything above a play-in, let alone, you know, challenge for the 8 seed or the 6 seed or the 5 seed. So build your talent base. Stay with a coach that they're still following, so you haven't lost a room. That's one way you can go. And if they go a different direction, it is what it is. I've had a lot of head coaches, and I like Luke, but I also like Dave. And, you know, Paul Westfall and I were very, very close, and I miss him dearly. You know, like, there's going to be another coach. Michael Malone, tremendous human being. Mike Corbin, tremendous. You know, most of the coaches that came to Brett through are really good guys, and we can start over again.
You have thoroughly depressed my partner, so I've got to spend the next 15 minutes or so trying to get him out of the doldrums of what he just heard.
We're just keeping James Hamm company on his way to the Golden One Center, that's all. Just giving him something to do as he drives in. Hamm, thanks for joining us, man, especially on short notice. We'll all be tuned in to the interview tonight following the game.
Thanks, James.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.